Hello, thank you for visiting Crossroad International Church, a Christian community in the heart of Kuwait consisting of believers from dozens of countries around the world. Our vision is to see all people in Kuwait know, believe, and model the unconditional love and life-giving hope of Jesus. We hope you're blessed by the message this morning.
Abba, as we get into your word, as we look into your words, I pray that you will give us words to speak. You will give me words to speak. And I humble myself before you, Lord, and I pray, I fully depend on you and trust you to speak through me, Lord, to your people. And Abba, as we hear from your word, I pray that you give us a heart that can receive and multiply many, many older results, Lord. Abba, we thank you and we praise you. We put our trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever wondered how many choices you make every day? Think about it. How many choices did you make today to get to church after waking up to this point? When I look back, I have made so many choices already. First of all, I had chosen to come to church. I had made a choice to come to church. And later on, for that, I had to set up an alarm. When the alarm went off, I had to choose between sleeping a little longer or I should get up out of bed. I chose to get out of bed. Then I did so many other things leading up to coming to the church for service. I had, of course, brush my teeth. I had to take a shower. I had to drive my car. Then while driving, I had to make several choices. Which lane to drive on, what speed I should drive, which deviation should I take, and where to park. So already within these few hours, I have made maybe hundreds of choices. And I'm sure all of you have made several choices. And the interesting thing is that each choice we make, they can have some consequences. As we enter into the new year, one thing we can be all assured of is that we will have millions of choices to make. Now the question is, how do we make the right choices? As I said, I have already made several choices. Now I invite you to pause for a moment and think about the most significant choice you have ever made in your life. Can you just think about it? You don't have to say it, but you think about the most significant choice that you made in your life. I thought about it, and I understood which is the most significant choice I've made. Another thing I realized is that because of that one right choice I made, some of the subsequent choices I made which were wrong did not matter. You know, that one choice I made, the most significant choice, was to accept Jesus as my personal Savior. Now, when I did that, everything changed. The whole life was changed. I was destined to hell. I was hell-bound. And when I made that choice, my destiny was sealed. Immediately, I became heaven-bound. So that's what, how can that happen? When I made the choice to accept Jesus as my personal Savior, everything that is written in this book became relevant to me. That's the point, everything, because this book is for us, for believers. When I said that I believe Jesus has died for me, he died in my stead on the cross of Calvary. You know, that made the difference. That made the difference. I was born in sin. I lived in sin. I was stupid. That was my destiny. And because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So when I accepted Jesus Christ, at that very moment, my destiny was changed from death to everlasting life. Jesus became the ransom for me. His precious blood has washed me clean. it covered me completely. At that very moment, did I stop sinning? Did I become smart? You may ask my wife and kids. You may ask my close friends. You may ask the family in our Saturday life group. They will all testify to you that I am still stupid. They will testify to you that I still make mistakes. But one thing I can tell you, that from the time I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior until now, I am less stupid. I can tell you that. And I can also tell you that I don't do things or the sins that I used to do before. I refrain from doing those things. Holy Spirit has been patiently working in me to transform me. I am being changed, like many of you. You are being changed to the image of Christ slowly but steadily. Everything in this book, as I said, has become relevant to me. This book is the manual for our Christian book, our Christian living. Do you know the scripture contains about 8,810 promises? This book has got 8,810 promises, and they all become relevant to us when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior. The Bible is nothing but truth. Every verse in this Bible will come to pass in the fullness of time. The Bible says, the word will not return void without accomplishing its purpose. So we know that everything in this book will come to pass. The topic of our discussion today is about making right choices. You know, the problem we are facing is that our knowledge, our understanding is very limited. We know, as Paul said, we know in parts when we are in this world. We don't know what is going to come our way in the next moment. We don't know what will come our way in the next hour, next day, next month, and so on. And how can we make sure that choices we make will yield the results intended for? At our work, in my work, in the last quarter of the year, we spent about 3 months preparing our business plan for the following 3 years. We do very intense, we go through intense time of choosing the right thing, making the right plan. But you know, the fact is that this depends upon so many other factors, which is not in your control. It depends upon international factors, local factors, governmental factors. So all that we plan is just a plan. Only God knows. He holds our tomorrows. How can we, in that inability in our minds that we don't know what is coming our next moment, how can we choose the right things? How can we make right choices? I think, as I said, this is our manual for our living. So he would like to look into the Word of God and see how can we make right choices. I would like to draw your attention to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." So let's break these verses down. In these two verses, there are three commandments and there is one blessing. The commandment number one is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not only on your own understanding. So the second commandment is lean not on your own understanding. And the third commandment is in verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And the blessing follows, that is, He, that is God, shall direct your paths. That's the promise from God. And it's interesting, in word 5, it reads, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. These are diametric statements, which means if you lean not on your understanding, you cannot trust trust in God with all your heart, and vice versa. If you trust in God with all your heart, you cannot lean on your understanding. Scripture is clearly giving a warning there. What is it saying? It's saying, do not try and reason everything out with your feeble mind. Trust me wholeheartedly. That's what God is saying. I've got it. Just trust me. We are to trust God and wait patiently for His perfect timing. We have many examples in the Bible, and one of them is Abraham. We know that the story of Abraham is, we read that in Genesis chapter 12 to 22, and some additional material is there from in the next 23 to 25 also. But to cut the long story short, Abraham was a sinner like us. The Bible says his faith was accounted to him as righteousness by God. So the Bible says Abraham believed God, and that was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham made mistakes. Even after believing in God, we know the story, all of us know the story, then he made many mistakes. When we study his story, we see a pattern of making mistakes, repenting, falling on his face. That means complete surrender. The three characters of Abraham that stands out is his faith, because the Bible says God accounted his faith to him as righteousness. And then the other one we see is worship, because time and again we read through those chapters that Abraham there made an altar unto the Lord. And then his humility, because we see that him falling on his face in complete surrender to God. It's interesting that at least 35 times in the Bible, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, 35 times we read that they fell on their faces from the beginning to the end, because God wants us to trust him completely, fully surrender to him. That's what God is requiring of us. Not to try and lean on and understand him, but to trust him. Coming back to Abraham's story, he was 75 years old when he was called, and God called him and promised him to make him the father of nations, which we find in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Then he believed God, and he waited for 10 years. He and his wife Sarai, they were waiting, and eventually they got frustrated. I'm just paraphrasing it. Sarai went to Abraham and said, honey, I am too old. This is not working out. I won't be able to bear a child for you because I'm too old. So why don't we have a child through my servant Hagar? So Abraham said, sweetheart, it's wonderful. Let's do it. So because of that one reasoning they did, Ishmael was born when Abraham was 86 years old. Because of that one reasoning they did, we know, I don't want to get into the consequences they had to face, but everybody, still today, we are facing the consequences because of what Abraham's done, what he has taken things into his own hands. Then later on, they waited another 14 years. When Abraham was 99 years old, God appeared to him again, and he renewed the promise, and there God gave him a child. Sarai conceived and born, and Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old. So we are not to take things into our own hands, but wait upon the Lord till his word is fulfilled. In the fullness of time, every promise in this book will come to pass. So then later on we see the progression of Abraham's faith, when we see that God calls him to sacrifice his only son Isaac, his promised son Isaac, to the Lord. And we know that Abraham did not question back then. Abraham did not reason it out. He just did it. He went up to the last moment when God provided a substitute for his son. We know the story. So God's promises are A and Amen. They will all come to pass. Let us trust Him with all our heart, and let's not lean on our own understanding. Then we read the next verse, that is back to Proverbs, that in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. If you remove that Lord phrase, it reads, trust in the Lord with all your heart, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Simply put, if you want God to help with your decisions, if you want God to help you with the right choices, all we have to do is to trust God wholeheartedly and acknowledge Him when we make our choices. God demands us to acknowledge Him. He wants us to depend on Him completely. In Romans chapter 1, while explaining about the fall of human race, Paul writes this in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but because became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. In that chapter, Paul is explaining about the downward progression of mankind. And he's talking about the degradation of believers. And it says it all begins with the people not acknowledging God and not thanking Him. You know, that is the downfall. That's the beginning of downfall of human race, and that is the beginning of the downfall of any believer. That when we stop acknowledging Him, when we stop thanking Him, that's the beginning of our fall. So as I said earlier, all the wonderful promises that God made in His Word, all those things are irrelevant until and unless we make that one right choice, that is to accept Jesus as our Savior, to believe in the work of Jesus on the cross. Now, if you have not made that choice yet, let me invite you to make that choice right now. You don't have to work your way to heaven. You don't have to work hard for eternal life. It is only by grace through Jesus Christ, and nothing more and nothing less. All we have to do is to accept Him as our personal Savior. Then everything else will be added on to us. We have to seek the kingdom of God first. That's what the Bible says. Everything else will be added on to us. So if you have not made that choice, I invite you to please make that choice today. Accept Him as your personal Savior. Invite Him into your hearts. Can I ask Berlin and the team to come, please? Yeah. So, we are living in a corrupt world. And we are also corrupt people. You know, there's something that the corruption cannot be reversed. Corruption is irreversible. I heard a preacher saying once that look at this beautiful apple. If you leave it outside, in few days it will start to lose its beauty. But once it starts you losing it, you can't reverse it. All you can do is to maybe put it in the refrigerator so that it will delay the process of corruption. So what is the solution? We are living in a corrupt world. And God is so realistic, and He has a solution. The solution is free birth. God has given us, in His mercy, He will make us a new, He will create, make us a new creation. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read, therefore, if anyone is Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you want to be that new creation, don't worry about the corruption, that we corrupted status we are in today. But accept Jesus, and Holy Spirit will give you a new birth according to His word. So I would like you to close your eyes, bow your heads, and be personal with God. And if you have not made that choice to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, I invite you to do that now. Do that today, and everything in this book becomes relevant to you. Every promise that God has made will become relevant to you. Some of us have made that choice some time back. Now, I invite you to recommit our lives to Jesus. We need to trust Him wholeheartedly and acknowledge Him in all our ways. In other words, we must acknowledge our need of Him in our lives. Let's do that now. We must detach ourselves from our dependence on our positions, our possessions, but let us fully depend on God. Let us not reason out things, but trust God. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, shall walk and not faint." I came across this saying some time back, and it says, "Every great walk begins with single step." But I want to tell you today that every walk with God begins on your knees. Every great walk with God begins on your knees. So as we get into this new year, let me invite you to humble yourself. Fall on your knees. In fact, fall on your faces in complete surrender to God, telling Him, "Lord, we need You. I can't go through this year by with my own strength, but I need You." As we get into this extended time of prayer, I invite you to sit where you are, or kneel down, or fall on your face as the Holy Spirit leads. And let's say, "God, God, we need You. God, we need You. We can't do it with our own strength, but we need You." Abba, we thank You for this evening. Thank You, Lord, this morning. And Abba, we thank You. And we acknowledge that for our need in You, Lord Jesus. We need You. We need You, Lord. We can't do it with our own strength. We can't depend upon our own understanding because it is so limited. But we choose to put our trust in You, Lord Jesus. And as You have promised that You will see us through. As Berlin leads us in the next song, I want you to sing it as a prayer. Sing it to the Lord from the bottom of your heart, saying, "I need You, Lord."
Thank you so much for tuning in to Crossroads International Church. If you have questions about how to pray for, give, or get involved with CIC, visit www.ciccoet.com or check out our Instagram and Facebook account at CICQA. Have a blessed day.